It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Barrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, it's Hidden Wisconsin. We go behind the scenes with one man who teaches fathers to be better parents.
First, though, Wisconsin had a poor showing nationally today as test results for 4th and 8th graders around the country were released in what's referred to as the nation's report card.
Although there were some gains overall, Wisconsin posted the largest achievement gap between black and white students of any state in the country for both 4th and 8th graders. In math and reading. That's all according to test results from the National Assessment of Educational Progress.
Here with us to talk about the results is Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Education at St. Norbert College. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Oh, glad to be here.
So the headline from these new test results is Wisconsin's achievement gap, one of the worst. Can you recap those scores for us?
Yeah, the test scores that came out, and everyone always has to be careful when the NAEP scores are released, because it's even an interesting thing. Google test results NAEP, and you will get such a myriad of interpretations of the scores that it's best to look at NAEP from a broader view. This particular year, with the results, Wisconsin does indeed have among the top five, or maybe we should say bottom five, results when it comes to the achievement gaps between white students and then students of color. So it's not only among African-American students, it's among the whole group. For example, only 9% of African-American students in eighth grade reading were judged proficient. We had 55% of African-American students have their reading skills in eighth grade rated below basic. So that's the largest of any state in the union. And, you know, you can't sugarcoat that result. That is generally not. Wisconsin doesn't generally think of ourselves at the bottom looking up at other states. And there are similar types of issues among fourth grade reading, eighth grade math, and fourth grade math. So it's a significant issue.
So, in adding to that, among eighth graders, black students in Wisconsin scored the lowest on reading in the entire country, as I read it, followed by Mississippi and Alabama. That seems like quite a badge of shame. What does a score like that tell us about education in Wisconsin?
Well, it's important to keep in mind that one of the things that the NAEP is it does a representative sample. So it tells you a lot of information about the state. It doesn't tell you any information about a particular school district. So while there might be some people that are tempted to lay this on the doorstep of MPS in Milwaukee or any other district, it does not provide those pieces of information. So you have to do this pullback and be able to then look at other districts. So first, let's look at this as a statewide issue, not a district issue. However, what it tells you is that these students are not scoring well, A, compared to students across the nation of similar ethnic and racial background, and B, it tells you that a lot of students in Wisconsin that are white and Anglo are doing well. So this is an interesting sort of double-edged sword, two sides of the same coin, et cetera, idea. So it's one of these good news, bad news things, but it's so extreme on the poor performance of non-white students statewide that this is clearly something that has to get the attention of the state, and any one particular district is either, you know, it's incorrect to lay this at any one particular district.
Well, and given that the national conversation lately in education has been focused on closing the achievement gap, even though there have been gains overall among broad categories of students, we have to look at this achievement gap and where Wisconsin's showing up. How does a failure like this read nationally if you're looking at it from that level?
Well, and that is interesting because we do know that there are things that schools can do that address increasing academic achievement for students. For example, we know that there are very effective reading programs, like the Reading Recovery Program. Anybody out there listening that knows anything about reading knows that that's the gold standard for effective reading remediation programs. It's phenomenal. It's very expensive. So districts have tried to use variations of that program. However, one of the things to keep in mind is if you are increasing the academic performance of students that are already doing well will statistically increase their performance even faster, and students that are not doing well will improve, but they will improve at a slower pace. So what that means is that overall improvement increases, it just increases faster for those students positioned socially, economically, culturally, to be able to excel at school, and it increases slower for students that are not as positioned to be able to take advantage of increased school performance. So you can't just say it's one size fits all, and that's the big issue here. It's not one size fits all. So we've been testing like crazy for a decade and a half, maybe two decades. Maybe it's time to rethink how we approach some of these needs. Maybe it's time to have a more distribution of research and innovation and involve classroom teachers in this conversation and not just impose another new program of the day on classes. So, you know, it's a complex issue, but it's a real problem because those students deal with that every single day. And this is across the nation, of course, too, not just in Wisconsin.
Well, what you're talking about, you know, sounds like something that would be a perfect thing to try, individualizing the education plans for each student. But everyone knows that in schools, they're strapped for time, they're strapped for resources, they're strapped for person power. How could something like that actually be implemented?
And I think you raise a really, really valuable point. Education in Wisconsin, at least on the K-12 level, has taken some significant hits in the last 2 years. And this is not an overall area that has extremely high amounts of morale. Last couple of years, you've had the teachers that have been at least partially blamed, I think, misdirectingly, for the deficit in Wisconsin. So you've had the decertification of unions. You've had districts now that are helping to distribute money to voucher schools. And then you have the state agency that's overseeing part of this distribution of money to private schools. So the trend that this might portend, one would look at this and say, boy, where's the motivation and the energy, the funding, and the will to have these students in the public schools be able to get the programs that they need? This is a great big issue because research has shown, whether it's choice or voucher or whatever the schools, that overall the students that take advantage of those generally are already in a position to do well in school. And so Wisconsin has some policy decisions to look at that will address the needs of these underrepresented groups.
So are you saying with vouchers, you're saying maybe we don't have the data points yet to decide whether or not this is something that could help?
Well, I think the overall evidence shows that with voucher schools, well, vouchers, of course, are still very, very new in Wisconsin, and the measures from those schools even have yet to be determined. But vouchers came into place for a political reason, which is fine. That's politics. Hey, welcome to Wisconsin. But there is no evidence to show that voucher schools are the way to be able to go to address the achievement gap. Yet, as a state, we're moving towards increased attention and funding to voucher schools. So the point is that there needs to be a broader policy discussion about how do we get all of these groups raised, or are we going to target the underperforming groups only? And it's very difficult to do everything that you need to have done. And so, and Wisconsin has been paid much more attention lately to teachers and teacher pay and districts and district funding policies, and now the establishment of voucher schools and private schools. And this has not received attention in the last 2 years. I have yet to hear somebody stand up and really rail on this issue. So it hasn't received the attention, and it needs to.
Now, in our last 30 seconds or so, let's say your state superintendent, Tony Evers, your governor, Scott Walker, you see these scores. What are you thinking, and what do you want to do tomorrow?
Well, that's very true. Of course, one of the other sides to this is these underrepresented groups also rarely receive political attention. So it is going to have to take more of a statesman's approach. And, of course, there is no simple answer. And what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to look at what are effective programs. They're going to have to develop the time and the training for the teachers to develop these and encourage innovation and continue to take looks at this, because, you know, we do need to realize that what we've been doing probably isn't serving this population very well, and we need to look at new methods.
All right. Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. Glad to be here. Thank you.
That was Steve Correa, Associate Professor of Education at St. Norbert College.
Now we'll check the headlines. Then we'll be back with our Hidden Wisconsin series. Today we look at the job of fatherhood. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.